Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church. I'm glad to welcome you to this fourth and final episode in our podcast series as we are in Lent leading up to Easter 2024. The series is entitled, What Are We to Do?, which is a quote from some of Christ's enemies in the gospel. And we're looking at the witness and the gospel proclamation that comes from the enemies of Jesus. It's important to look at this because very often the gospel, in recording the very real and reliably remembered events of Jesus last week and his suffering and death upon the cross and his burial, they record and remembered that those who were opposed to Jesus and had a great hand in seeing that he did die upon the cross, out of their mouths came things that proclaimed who Jesus was. In their own actions and things that they said, they gave us instances where we could truly focus better on the theological truths of what it meant for the Son of God to die upon a cross. They open up for us places to meditate and see with our the eye of our mind and spirit who Jesus is. And also, they show that even in the catastrophe of the cross, we would remember that God, though he allows evil people to do what they intend, he doesn't countermand free will, he does set limits. And so even these that tried to work something terrible found themselves working the good, that there was just a point at which they could do no more. Well, here we have in this story in Mark chapter 15, where though Jesus is already nailed upon the cross, and people come by to mock him. And frankly, that's pretty pathetic right there, to wag their heads and to say, and why waste words upon someone whom you would know is going to shortly be dead? Well, but this is what they said. Verse 27, or 29, that is. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. Well, for one thing, something that they do say are doing there is perhaps a final temptation given to Christ, where the voice is actually put in his ear as he is dying upon the cross. Save yourself. Come down from the cross. In fact, here's the people who wanted him in saying, come down from the cross now. And let him come down from the cross. We will see and believe if we do that. Now, this is a situation where when they say something like, he saved others and he cannot save himself, come down from the cross and we will see and believe, this is a moment when we can focus truly on a theological truth, that Jesus came not as a servant, not to be served, but to be a servant and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came and was presented before the high priest, and the high priest designated that he would be the one who would die for the people. He was indeed testified and proved in court to be innocent, but nonetheless went to the cross. He stood before Pilate and didn't use his own great powers of speech to try to get out of the sentence of death that was looming over him, but willingly took it on. He cannot be this Savior and save himself. He saved others and he cannot save himself. Well, take that sentence and turn it around. He can't save himself if others are to be saved. He can't be the Christ that we should believe in and have our faith in and we will walk in faith following if he comes down from the cross. That would be a very different Jesus that comes down from the cross. That says these people are not worth it. This this indignity is too great. I shall not empty myself of all my heavenly glory to suffer death and to bleed and to finally give up life and breath upon this cross. These people are evil and unthankful. Or a Jesus without the faith to see that the Father was working salvation. I know that we could look at the experience of Jesus on the cross and help us to understand that the very effects and work of redemption can be all around us, and we may not see evidence of it. All Jesus can see, if he looks from the cross, is a crowd of people even wagging their heads and making faces and shouting at him and laughing and mocking. But at the same time, the salvation for the whole world is being worked. So Jesus can be at work in the life of somebody near you. You might not see the evidence of it. We do not always see it right then. But indeed, it is something that works and that does happen. Even with the evidence of our eyes being so very totally negative. But we'd have this time to focus upon this, that Jesus can't save all the others if he saves himself. He has come all this way to give up his life upon the cross. He is going to go to the heavenly tabernacle and before the Father present this sacrifice, his own blood. That indeed is the testimony in the book of Hebrews that says, Christ is our new high priest. He is the one who has been made high priest better than the high priests that are in the world that one, you know, over and over again, year by year, made sacrifice for the sins of the people. But we have a high priest who is holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. That's chapter 7, verse 26. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for the people, since he did this once and for all when he offered up himself. Indeed, it says that Jesus has gone through, not to the earthly temple, but to the heavenly temple before the Father. And he offers not the blood of bulls and goats and lambs, but he offers his own blood. His own blood cannot be offered unless his life is given on the cross. A proclamation can be made from the cross in countermanding this. It is the old promise in the Psalms that God would not let his Holy One see corruption. When people were saying, well, this is it. He is done. That's all there is to it. Let's see him be saved now. Well, the church, by the time you get to the book of Acts, Peter will be saying, do understand, it was written about David, I will not let your Holy One see corruption. Jesus himself has an answer upon the cross, and it starts with the first verse in the 22nd Psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the psalm goes through to say, all who see me mock me, verse 7. They make mouths at me, they wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him. But then it turns to prayer, saying to the Father, be not far from me, for trouble is near. I am poured out like water, and my bones are all out of joint. A company of evildoers encircles me, but verse 19, but you, Lord, do not be far off. And all the ends of the earth, indeed, shall remember and turn to the Lord. Verse 22 says, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. For he has heard when I cried to him. Indeed, it is a psalm of hope. It takes that point of, my God, why have I been forsaken, to understand that God will set this right, and he sets it right with a resurrection. The one whom the power said, well, he won't be such a troublesome prophet if he's dead. We can handle the dead prophets. We can handle the people we have shoved out of history. Jesus won't be shoved out of history. He is here, and he is among us. God did not let his Holy One see corruption, but Jesus was never going to save himself. It was the Father who was going to step in and take a hand. When his son's life was entirely given up, when his blood had been offered for our atonement and our forgiveness, then the Lord raised him up by the power of the Holy Spirit. My friend, do understand that Jesus' blood was shed for you, his innocent blood, his life designated by the high priest to be the sacrifice, affirmed by Pilate to be king and representing us, standing in your place and mine. And that blood was shed for you and I. And that death is where our death is truly at now. We live and we walk, but our old life has died, and we live in Christ. And also he is raised. And we do not walk in this world and its with its troubles and its very real threat of physical death. And we do not walk in this world in despair. But we know that we indeed shall be raised with him. Let the hope and the proclamation of forgiveness and new life in Christ be with you this Easter season. Amen. This has been Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church. I'm glad you have been with us for this podcast series. I just urge you to be in church worshiping God throughout this Easter time and your whole life through. Amen.